this is what you're approaching now. This is the gatehouse of Bunamargi Abbey. Bunamargi means across the Margi. The Margi is the river just down below that. And this area was part of what was called Margi Town. You're standing now in the gatehouse, and this would have been a small house where the monks would have lived. The Order of St. Francis came here with a thatched roof. The monastery was built around about 1495 by Rory McQuillan. Now, you remember that I told you that Magonius O'Coin had led the people of the Glens into idolatry and had to flee. We think he may be the late Reverend Walter McCrory and I, out at Armoy, traced it back, and we think he may be given his name to the McQueens over. But O'Coin fled, and the man who replaced him in the late 1400s, by sort of authenticated by Dominius Bernard O'Hale, was Rory McCallion, or Rory McQuillan. Now, Rory came from the people who held Dunluce Castle before the MacDonalds arrived. The McQuillans were masters of the route. They were an old Norman Welsh family who had come over partly with Henry II's forces, and come north with John de Courcy, and had taken lands around Portrush, they were the Burgos. But there was William and Richard. Now, William built Dunluce Castle, and the people couldn't say his name properly, so he called himself Gwilym, after the Welsh. They called him his sons McQuillan, the sons of William. So the McQuillans held this area, and Rory took over this and built the abbey and invited friars from the Order of St. Francis to come in. We don't know how long the monks were here. The abbey was certainly in operation in 1604, which is late under the general dissolution of the monasteries of Henry VIII. Irish abbeys tended to remain open much later than English ones did, but certainly from letters which are written from here, there were services taking place as late as 1604, but they were mainly for Scotsmen, for Scots Catholics. So, but the most famous inhabitant of this abbey is around here. The McQuillans held on to Bunamargi until the Battle of Ora Mountain in the late 1550s, when the McQuillans were defeated by the MacDonalds. And the MacDonalds took two great prizes from the McQuillans. One was Dunluce Castle, and the other one was here at Bunamargi. And most of the tombs which you will see are MacDonald tombs, but I'm going to take you to a grave site, which is nothing to do with the MacDonalds, but has plenty to do with the McQuillans, because it's the only McQuillan who is buried here. Now, you're walking up the wall of what was the great chapel here. Turn the corner, and here you are in the great chapel here. And this is the tomb or the grave that I want to tell you about. This is the grave of the Black Nun, Julia McQuillan. Now, we don't know an awful lot about Julia. We know that she was a nun, and she's called the Black Nun. Now, whether that is because that she was dressed in black, or whether she never washed, is another matter. But she was a religious hermit. At one time, when the castle in the centre of Ballycastle lay in ruins, she went and lived in it. Then she was put out of it, and she came and lived here. And she lived in the gatehouse, which we have just gone through. So, she was supposed to be very austere, and she was also supposed to be a great prophetess, in the style, let's say, of the English Mother Shipton, or some of the great Highland seeresses. And she's supposed to have made a number of predictions which are supposed to have come true. For example, she said that two stones, two great standing stones, one at Barnish, up the road, and one called Fetherin would come together. People laughed at her because they were plenty of miles apart. But they did. They were put together in the building of the first harbour at Ballycastle by Hugh Boyd. The other thing she said, that a red-headed priest would come and say Mass in Murlough up the road, and would then die. And this is supposed to have happened in the early 1900s when Father James McCann came from Belfast and said a Mass up in Murlough and was drowned swimming in the following day, swimming off Pan's Rocks. She has also said that there would be metal birds and the usual stuff, that there would be metal birds in the sky, and that carriages would travel without horses and all. She did, however, say that Knockglade, which is there and which is a dormant volcano, would erupt, and that the land round about would be devastated for a distance of 7 miles. So remember, if you're climbing Knockglade, some people will argue this has happened in the 1700s, but I'm not sure. Now, I wouldn't like to be heading up here either. The Black Nun's ghost is supposed to haunt the place. At one time it was a great dare for the young boys from Ballycastle to come out and spend the night here. You know, now, you're wondering, of course, why there is a hole in this. And there's a reason for that. That was for promissory notes. Now, under Irish law, if I came down from, let's say, from the grounds, and I met you, and I said, I have sheep with me, and you said, I'll buy your sheep. And I said, right, that'll cost you £100. And you said, hold on a minute, I don't have the money with me, but I'll tell you what, I'll pay you the next market day I'm in Ballycastle, but I'll take the sheep with me now. I would say, hold on a minute, how will I know where if I will see you, and how can I enforce my claim? So what you did was you got a public notary to write a piece of paper. I promised to pay Bob Kern £100, and what you did was you came down here and you passed it through that hole. And then it had force under Irish law so that I could sue you. And it was used by, it was the same as things like the Market Cross, where you had to put your hand on the Market Cross and swear. It was also used by courting couples. If a young lady said, will you marry me? And you said, of course I will. You touched your fingers through that, and then she could sue you for breach of promise if you didn't. So that was an important thing, and people came out here from the fair days to pass this through. Another thing here, come with me, there is supposed to be a treasure here. Whenever the monks left Bunamargi, they were supposed to intend to return, and they were supposed to have buried a great deal of gold and religious ornaments. And they still remain buried because the monks never returned. And if you want to know how to get it, I can tell you. You place a candle in that window. And the longest place that the shadow from the candle falls is where the treasure is buried. The only thing is they've never told you the length of the candle. So, yeah, you'll see, that was a private chapel of the McDonald's in there. There was a doorway through, which is now gone. And that was the private chapel because the McDonald's were the great royalty of the time, and they didn't want to mix with the in case they would get the disease, the great unwashed. You have great tombs around here. Bunamargi was still was at one time and still is an important place. So there you are.
Where is Sorley Boy buried?
Sorley Boy has been brought him down here. They brought him down here from Dunanini, and he's supposed to be buried somewhere around here.
But they don't know.
But they don't know.
And why this?
That was a crypt of something, and then the whole thing is rusted. There's a crypt on the other side of that. See, you went through there. There was a door there, and you went up a flight of stairs, and you sat, and you could sit in the grand area up there and watch this, and watch the proceedings where all this was being carried out.
Okay, and is there anything interesting through that gate?
Have a look in here. Now, it used to be you could get up, but they have it all closed off because the steps, there's a flight of steps took you up, and you see they have it padlocked. Mm. You could have went up there, and I have been up there a number of times. Those were the upper dormitories of the monks when they were. But because the steps are so worn, there's been a number of accidents coming down here, so they've padlocked it off.
Right.
But that was up to the dormitories, and the upper refectories were over there. But you can see how small the monks were.
Yeah. Now, the markings here, they don't look like graffiti. They look like proper...
That may be something to do with whenever these were strengthened. The stonesmiths left their names on and chiseled their names into. The abbey had been re-strengthened a number of times. It just wasn't allowed to decay. So presumably, as you can see, this is probably much later stone than the early stuff. You can see that that bit is mainly all rubble, where they have simply bits and pieces of rubble where they put bits and pieces into, and that has been strengthened over the time as well. But they've put, and probably the stone cutters have put their initials or something to denote. Sometimes they drew a wee cartoon